and welcome to a new episode of The Gab. Today I'm here with Christina Lidke. She is the president and CEO of Asturi. How are you today, Christina?
I'm good, Gabby. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, I'm so excited to hear everything about Asturi, but let's first start with telling us a little bit about yourself. Tell us about a regular day in your life.
So a typical day in my life is super crazy. But I will tell you, I wake up every morning and I do meditation and I do yoga.
Oh.
I have to get that in, even if it's 20 minutes, I have to get that in. It keeps me calm and centered throughout the entire day. And then I get on with my day. And I actually own this company and I also own a consulting company on the side. So I have clients that I help them get their startups off the ground by looking at all the business basics that a lot of people don't set forward from the get-go, which actually really challenges them long-term. So we try to build out business models that really help companies get strong from the get-go and get successful from the get-go. So I work with them, but then I also obviously work very much on my own company. And so a typical day usually starts with meetings after I get done with my own personal space time, because I think that's important to everybody. I start with meetings, and then it usually involves something of like the first part of the morning is meetings, and then I step into more creative work. I have to center myself in an hour or two of creative work every day, or I won't do it.
Why did you decide to start your business? I mean, you were being very successful in what you were doing.
I think one of the things, like, I had moved from several Fortune 500 companies and I was growing my career, and I was doing this on the side because creativity, I wasn't being able to tap into my creativity. I didn't go to school for creativity. I didn't go to school for
Your major?
Business.
Okay.
And even though I wanted to go to school for fashion design, the people that were paying for my education were like, there's no way.
Oh, you're going to sew some buttons here? No.
Exactly. So I, you know, and I'm very fortunate to have my school pay for and all of that, but it was, you know, graduate with a business degree first, and then you can go do what you want to do creatively. So even in all of my jobs, as many wonderful PowerPoint presentations I put together for corporate, I could not hit
enough.
The level of creativity.
Yes.
And I think there was this other thing about, you know, when I was a kid, I was super shy and insecure, and I used fashion as my voice. So instead of using my words and using my, you know, my voice and speaking up and all of that, I was always just very well dressed. And so I kind of merged these worlds of being creative, fashion as a voice, fashion as who we are in our style. And I just started like evolving that over time. And so, you know, believe it or not, I have no degree in fashion. I just learned how to sew. And
wow.
So I started in custom couture, and I would make beautiful gowns for clients in Chicago when I was living there. And then I started my own luxury label, which sunk my bank account like there was no tomorrow. Oh,
it's a difficult market, right?
It's a huge, you have to be so connected.
Yes.
And then I dabbled in the arts. And then, you know, this line that we're talking about today came about because, you know, fortunately, and I'm so grateful, I've actually had the opportunity to live in so many different cities and also travel around the world. And there was nothing for women from a tourist perspective. And I don't like the word tourist, where I think it's
right,
because it has such a bad, you know, nomenclature to and items. And I always tell people this, like,
well, I would say it's non-existent. Like, if you want to wear something that where you carry the identity of the city that you're in, or a city that you're in love with, there's nothing out there that's not a jersey or a sweatshirt.
Exactly.
And so when I saw your product, I was like, oh my God. So I can be stylish and at the same time, you know, have a piece of Detroit that I love.
Exactly. And that's the, you know, that's the biggest thing, is that we're, number one, like I always say this, especially when I'm doing pitches, is I walk into Hudson News, or I walk into an airport shop, and they're selling me cutting boards and dish towels and magnets and shot glasses and t-shirts and hoodies. And I'm like, who are you speaking to? Because the women who are traveling are the professional women.
Yeah.
And they're traveling to go
see
their friends.
They don't want a souvenir.
Right. Like, we're not in the kitchen drinking and cutting up food for dinner with a t-shirt on. That's not who we are.
No.
So.
You are so right. I never thought about it. Who are they selling this stuff to?
And exactly. And, like, you know, they have an opportunity to really speak to women in a whole new way. And so, you know, even t-shirts and hoodies. You and I are not 20.
No.
And I don't wear t-shirts that often. And I wear hoodies when I'm working out. But when I'm in, you know, if I'm in Nashville or Detroit or New York, you know, there's no options for women that can represent this community.
Yes, absolutely. A hoodie is definitely dressed down.
Yeah, it's all very casual. And it, quite frankly, most of them don't even fit women well.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody just does not look good. And I'm like, there's got to be a better way.
A better way,
that
yeah.
really represents this pride that every... And I would say there's more pride in smaller cities like Detroit than there is in these massive cities like New York.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a way to... be able to, you know, connect with these women in a whole new way.
Yeah, because the patterns, you don't immediately go, oh my God, that's, you know, that's the skyline. It's
right.
It's a beautiful, beautiful way that you display it. What makes you happy?
I would say the biggest thing that makes me happy is happy people. So when someone buys my product and they're happy with it and they spread the word and we get referrals and everyone's just like so happy to wear our product. And I see this, you know, when we talk about what the brand really means,
it
is this conversation that happens between people. So if someone's wearing one of our scarves or one of our pieces and someone stops them, they're like, oh my God, where did you get that? They start to tell their own stories.
Yes.
And that to me is the happiest thing that a company can do and I can do for clients and for customers.
So the name of your company is A Story. Where did that come from?
So it was so funny. So I had a different name for the company that I'm not even going to say because I hate it so much. But I started with one name because I just wanted to get the company going. And then I was like, I hate this name. It took about a year and a half to change this name into what it is today. And A Story is, we tell stories. It's a story.
Oh.
But we spell it differently with tour on it because, as you know and you've seen, we have clothing that is from every, you know, right now we're from New York. We have our prints are New York, Detroit, Los Angeles, and then we have a few small places.
Oh.
But it's tour. But it's just spelled A Story with tour in it.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. And your other company is called what?
Admirable Brands. So it's all about building brands that are very admirable out there. And I really learned that, you know, when I was working for some of the biggest beauty care brands in the world, these are brands that are admired. And they're admired not only for their innovation, they're admired for their business model, they're admired for their messaging and their stories.
Right.
And so this is about... You know, again, I think every company has the possibility to be a great company as long as they have the right business model and mindset in place.
What was a major challenge and how did you overcome it?
I've had a lot of challenges. I'm going to bring up two challenges. I think the first one is, and I say this as an entrepreneur, I think one of my biggest challenges has been the money mindset. And this is all about scarcity versus abundance. And how do you not be fearful of success in everything, but mm-hmm. you know, growing your company and being successful and making it on your own is, I think I've had challenges in that mindset.
Did you feel unsure about making it, or were you unsure about you being able to catch up to success, or?
It was the responsibility of it all. Mm. And so this is, again, like going back to self-acceptance is being high, you know, we're all highly responsible individuals, but being responsible for your own success and also responsible for your own failures.
Yeah.
I mean, I failed so many times. I can't even tell you. Like,
yeah, you started making gowns.
Yeah. I have failed so many times and I still am. I mean, there's certain areas that I'm like, well, that didn't work. But it's accepting those and learning from those. So I think I think my number one challenge is like not being fearful of being responsible for success because people, what is that saying that, it's not, I'm not scared of failure. I'm scared of success and it's getting past that.
Wow.
And, you know, it's, so that has been its own mindset, because I was in corporate for a long time. So everything was kind of, I had a framework around.
Yes. It's structured. And when you go out, it's, nothing is going to work or get done unless you do it,
right,
or invent it, or, you know, you create that meeting, you create that calendar, you create that framework that you are going to work. And that is what's demanding.
Exactly. And you know, it's cold calling, mm-hmm. like, you know, or asking people, you know, hey, I've got this great product. Do you mind if I come in and show you? Things of that nature. You know, it's figuring all of those things out. So I think that was my number one challenge. And I would say my second challenge is, you know, leaning into fear. Because there's a lot of things that are very fearful about starting your own thing. And again, it goes back to acceptance. The more you accept who you are, the more you're going to be able to lean into fear as a growth versus, you know, escaping fear as, I can't do that.
Something dreadful, yeah.
Yeah.
What is something you are passionate about?
So as I kind of said in the beginning, I mean, I'm a yogi, I'm a meditator. That to me is I'm passionate about it because I think it's such an important part of our lives. And it's changed me. I started meditating about 7 years ago and it has changed me 180%. Like, I just have become a totally different person because of it.
Do you have a mantra or do you follow an app or how do you meditate?
There's a couple of different apps. So I would always say Insight Timer is my favorite app. They have tons of different meditations. Some of my favorite meditators are on that app. But they also have music. So I sometimes have a really hard time falling asleep because my mind goes 180
times
all the time. So they have different types of sleep music. Since the pandemic, I haven't really gone back to classes in a gym. So I do Allo Moves is a great app that it's challenging as well. But I'm really passionate about, especially for women, you know, we've had to fight through so much. And I think as an entrepreneur, especially, we're always defending ourselves. And today was a great example. Like, I felt like I was being shamed for wearing my stuff well because I have a good figure, right? So because I work out and whatever, like, everyone's beautiful. Everybody has a beautiful body, no matter what size. And I think there is this part as women and why I'm so passionate about the space. And this is like what the company actually encompasses so much of, is we are all beautiful and we're all gorgeous women. And I think we've had, you know, no matter what route we go down, whether it's entrepreneurship, whether it's company, whether it's this, you know, it's how do we find ourselves in a very positive space, helping other women out in so many different things. And for us to be able to do that, we actually need the time for ourselves to be inspired. So that can be through meditation, that could be through yoga, that could be through, you know, again, like taking time to play and, you know, be inspired by what have you. I mean, I do it more for work than anything, but that space is most precious to me because it is the nucleus of what I stand for.
So would you say that, would you consider yourself successful in this moment? I know you're still climbing up, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm successful every day. Not in this, like, grand scheme of where I want to be, right?
No, but, like, but you're happy. You're
but
doing
happy.
What you want to do.
Yeah.
I think that's so important because everybody wants to measure success with dollars and cents. But are you happy? Is every day meaningful to you? I mean, and you are making change, you know, you're changing people's outlook and you know, what they are wearing, and they're keeping a piece of, you know, the place that they love. So it's powerful.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Money is not I don't think people should be using money as a metric to success, because when I look at how fulfilling my life is now versus where it was pre-pandemic, because I made a lot of changes. I was living in New York at the time of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I moved back
here.
In an apartment.
That's
like,
tough.
There was so many, well, thank God I was able to come back here for a little while. But then I went back to New York and I'm like, this is not my home anymore. But it was, my life is so much more fulfilling. My relationships are so much deeper because I'm happier doing what I love instead of going to work, you know, and not being fulfilled there. And then you come home and then you're trying to make up for all that unfulfillment in other areas of your life.
Exactly.
You need to have that happiness kind of be, and again, it was never a financial metric.
I mean, right.
It's great, don't get me wrong, but like, it was never a financial metric. It was more about, I need to wake up and do something I love every day, because then I carry that forward throughout all the areas of my life.
Exactly. So what is your outlook for the future? Where is Christina going to be? I don't know. And it's not only your outlook for the future, but what do you see happening in your life, in your, and where you are in the city? Are you moving? Are you opening brick and mortar? What is your outlook?
So I would say my outlook for the future is a couple of things. Number one is to continue to grow this company. I think that we can make massive strides. Nobody's doing what we're doing, and I feel like we can make massive strides across airports and stadiums, and really bringing great merchandise to women in areas that they're also in. I mean, even I was reading facts the other day, like the NFL, the reason the NFL's audience has grown so much is because half of that growth is coming from women.
Yes.
And more women are traveling. And so, and I think as also as psychographics start to change as women, it's, you know, kind of connecting with them wherever they're at. And I think they're, you know, now that the pandemic's kind of come to and it's, they're traveling, they're going to stadiums, they're having their girlfriend nights out aren't the same as they used to be. So where can we connect with these women? So yeah, I think it's growing, you know, definitely growing the company. I'm downtown Detroit, so I don't know if I want to do retail, and I'll tell you why I'm not. I would rather have, I was just telling someone the other day, I'd rather have like a little shop out front and then a little speakeasy in the back or something that's fun.
Yes.
And interesting. And there's a shop that I follow on TikTok, a store, a brand that is, they have like, it's a beautiful brand and it's very colorful. And they have a beautiful, colorful store out front, but then they have a little wine thing for women in the back. And so I want to do something that's unique for women, that isn't just about like decorating a store and having them shop around and then leave. I want them to come in and have a memorable experience.
And also, that's the thing you were stepping away from, something that is too structured and the grind and having to have someone there that would get bored or whatever. No, you want it to be something that is dynamic.
Right.
When you say we, do you have employees?
I say we, it's really me. Almost all of my team is freelancers. So freelancers. I work with all freelancers at this point. I would love to take some, you know.
And where do you have your products made?
My product, most of it's made in the United States. Mm-hmm. So,
far away or?
So our, some scarves are made at the St. Luke New Life Center in Flint, Michigan. So we give back to the women who are learning, who have come from challenge backgrounds, who learn how to sew. So they create some of our scarves. Some of our products are made in New York and some of our products are made in Arizona. And all of the factories that we work with are women-owned. So every single manufacturer out there is a woman-owned business. And we really seek that out more and more. Because I know that manufacturing in the United States is super, super important. It gives jobs. It does all of, you know, it has an ecosystem that is continuing to grow over time. I mean, I will tell you a few of our products are made in China, but it is what it is. But we continue to find ways to work with local manufacturers and also give back, especially for these women-owned businesses.
Well, thank you very much for this interview. I am so, so thrilled to learn all of this about you and a little bit more about Astori. And you're online, definitely.
Yep, right? You can find us at astori.com, ASTOURI.com.
Wonderful. And I will see you guys later. Thank you so much, Christina.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.